WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday season. Tis the season for a crab cake. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Pappas in Cockeysville, presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play. We're going to be joined by Jim Rees, my good pal from Offutt Kerman, fresh off his appearance with Guy Fieri and Triple D and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. We're also going to be joined by Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global, who has given me some rent versus own advice, and I had Harford County Executive Barry Glassman trying to get me to move to Abingdon or have it a grace. I'm sure before this is over with, they're going to try to move me to Baltimore County. Johnny O will have me out of Pappas here this week. Mike Bordick's going to be joining us on Friday as well, talking a little baseball. I'm really looking forward to catching up with Bordy, one of the real good people that I met in baseball. And this guy joins me every week, and I join him every week. He's one of the good people selling cars. Dan, I know you can see me, and I'm a little wrinkled. I'm wearing a Coons shirt. I'm wearing the red, and there's a red story involved in this that involves Barry Chess. But it's not ironed, and it's like hanging in the thing. And I'm thinking, you know what? The Ravens were a little wrinkled on Sunday night too, weren't they?
Just a smidgen wrinkled, but you know what? Giving me an ugly win versus a pretty loss any day of the week, and I guess that's the best takeaway from the debacle that was Sunday night.
Well, I mean, you say debacle and all that. I was up late with it. The Bears game was a really ugly football game, not a very good game. This was different ugly. It was more AFC North ugly, and the stakes of a 6-3 game and a 3-point game and a kicker missing field goals and an offense that can't get anything done and Lamar getting sloppy and trying to get in the phone booth a little too early, you know what I mean? Kryptonite, whatever, throwing picks. It just, for me, I'm happy they survived it, and honestly, I didn't have any sort of tough line of questioning for Harbaugh, like, hey, John, you're not going to win a lot of games throwing four picks, are you? I don't think that they need – I mean, it's a happy win. It was ugly. I called it a beautiful, ugly victory, you know, because you have to win a game like that in the division, and it could have been raining sideways. It could have been whatever it was. I'm happy on a night when Lamar played probably the worst game of his career. I think we could say that to some degree, although more disappointing games and losses or whatever. But he won't repeat that. I don't think that's any part of a trend, and that's why I'm not going to beat him up about it this week.
Well, the four picks are the story in regards to Lamar Jackson and the team, but what about the bounce pass, the ball that hit the ground in front of the tight end that even everybody in America and the world saw it, and I tweeted out, I quoted you that this is the time when you say, and they actually bet on these type of games.
No, you're not quoting me. You're quoting Marvin Lewis.
Okay.
That's Marvin Lewis said that to me.
I'm quoting you, quoting Marvin Lewis.
I'll give the story because I remember it. I remember all my time. I love Marvin. I got to text Marvin this week.
How do they get that caught wrong? They have all the video surveillance. The ball bounced off of the ground. It was a short hop. And had the Ravens lost, I think that would have been a bigger story than Lamar's four interceptions. But you can't get a call like that wrong, Nestor. You just can't. The ball, even Browns fans on my timeline, on my Twitter timeline, which is very active, were saying the ball hit the ground was not a touchdown. So even the opposition said it was not a catch.
Well, I keep going back to they're going to bet on this. My pal John Martin from Maryland Lottery and Gaming, they're going to open casino. Like, they just get the call right. This isn't even about I like betting. Everybody should bet, right? Great, good. Have a good time. Bet on the games. Get the call right. That's what the job is.
You saw the play, Nestor. What did you think?
I kept saying it hit the ground. The ball moved in a direction that was unnatural, right? And correct. I guess maybe to clarify on Marvin Lewis's statements, this is 1996, 97. Team's not any good. Defense, you know, I mean, this is the March of Broda era. And I used to watch film with Marvin and Jimmy Schwartz. Jimmy was always in the corner. I never even knew his name. He'll tell you that. I didn't even know who he was. He was the other guy eating a sandwich out of a brown bag because there was nowhere to eat. I mean, they're up in the woods. And then the delis weren't even built back then. and up where Stevenson is now. And the ball bounced in such a way, it was like one of those football follies. You know, it was a football follies, you jump on it. Like the play where I tweeted Sunday night. They tell you to fall on the ball. Everybody, yeah. Chuck Clark's trying to scoop it and be a hero and all of that. When the ball did that, Marvin once said that he turned to me, he's like, I can't believe people bet on this. Reminded you of a ball in the what's the game they played, the casino game, bet on red or black and the little ball.
Oh yeah, roulette, whatever they called it.
Right. I guess that would be where you are. And that's a bouncing ball, and we all know the ball bounces, and we all know things will happen. But when the videotape is there on a look, this happens every week, right? Whether it's the Bengals guy 2 weeks ago lowering his shoulder and that changed the whole game. I mean, there was a football game on Saturday where the kid, if he stays in bounds, it changes the whole game, right? And one decision, but it can't be an official's decision. It can't be something on videotape for me.
No, and they have people in New York looking at it. They have people at the stadium looking at it. Then Chris Collinsworth said there's 70,000 refs in the stands as well, but it was such an egregious call. And the NFL, but you know what? They're popular as ever, right? 38.5 million people watching the Cowboys and the Raiders Thanksgiving night. 38.5 million people. The numbers are insane.
Not to mention how many people were betting on it.
Not to mention they just settled the St. Louis lawsuit, right? $800 million, and the lawyers got $275 of it. It's insane the money they're putting out, but they're raking in money hand over fist.
Angelos approved of that cut for the St. Louis lawyers.
Oh, sure he did. Yeah, that's who always wins, right? The attorneys, no matter what the lawsuit is. But anyway, but back to the game. They won. They're not going to apologize for the victory, but they certainly have things that they can clean up, things that are of concern. And right now, Ness, they're the number one seed in the AFC. And they have a very poor Pittsburgh team coming up. I watched the Steelers lose to the Bengals. I watched three quarters of it before I defaulted to the red zone. It was like watching a train wreck. I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
I kept wondering, when are they going to pull out of this? Oh, this is Pittsburgh getting beat. Nobody's turning this off, other than red
zone.
And for me to sit around and watch football all day, I mean, I watch college football all day Saturday. And as you know, I don't talk a lot of college. It's kind of a background thing for me. It became a foreground thing for me with two pretty good games. And then Saturday, I sort of settle in. And to see the Steelers get beaten in that fashion early in the day, and it sort of opened up the, okay, whoever wins this Sunday night game now, but for the Ravens to win and be diminished to some degree with the interceptions and to be the diminished 8-3 number one seed that we all are like, I'm looking Pittsburgh, Cleveland, down the line, the schedule ahead of them, right? And you start to say, all right, where are they really going to fall out of this and what will it look like? They're a playoff team and they might be the number one seed. And let's just knock on wood and say they are. Are they going to be built to beat Buffalo, Tennessee, New England, Kansas City, three of those teams in that order in January, not the way they played Sunday night. And I think we can all agree they need to run the ball better and they need a running solution that is not Lamar running into linebackers 21 times, which I pointed out to the coach and to the quarterback 3 weeks ago. So the offensive line for me and the running game itself, when we're in first and 10 is second and 9 because it's Freeman, it's Murray, it's Bell before that. It's not working. The running game's not working, and that's creating some extra pressure on Lamar that probably in some cases he didn't handle well on Sunday night.
Someone said that he doesn't play well in cold weather. I was in Miami on the Thursday night a few weeks ago, and it was 78 degrees at kickoff, and the weather was perfect, right? Then he didn't have a good game then, and in the Sunday night game was cold, didn't have a good game then. And someone also said in all four of his interceptions, and I haven't gone back to confirm it, but they said that he locked on Mark Andrews on all four of those picks. He just stared him down, and those were easy picks. And I saw a couple of Lamar's quotes, and one of them said that, hey, they made great plays. It wasn't like I threw it to them. No, you did throw it right to them. They didn't make great plays in all of those picks, right? So I don't know what he was seeing, but they certainly have a lot of work to do to clean up this offense. And hats off to the defense. The defense shut down the running game. They shut down Chubb and Hunt. And I don't know what Kevin Stefanski's game plan was, but it was a head scratcher. But it was nice to see Wink's group put some pressure on the quarterback and come up with some turnovers.
Well, especially without Calais Campbell, too, right? I mean, seeing Justin Houston step up, certainly, I mean, Bowser's become a much better football player. Owa's coming into his own. Patrick Queen got his bad self off. I think Bynes is one hell of a leader. You know, I think there was something about Bynes being around Ray Lewis early on and being around Sizzle and those guys, being around really good football players in that environment. And being an Auburn guy, you know, I mean, he's always been a grown-up, and now he is a grown-up, and it's kind of fun watching him play that role in the middle of all of this, especially when Campbell's not in there.
Yeah, and I don't know what I saw Christian Welch in there for a series or two. I was wondering what happened to Josh Bynes, but he's made the team much better, and you made a great point about Calais Campbell, concussion protocol, out for the game, and he's also a difference maker. Brandon Williams looked like Brandon Williams living up to that massive contract, and it's like Jimmy Smith, when he plays, he makes a difference for that defensive line. And sad that Jimmy wasn't there, but the back end, they acquitted themselves very, very well on a night where they had to carry the offense. And how about Justin Tucker, right? That not an easy place to kick. The wind again was swirling, and
the second one that was really swirling. Man. The first one was, yeah. You know, I looked up and I'm like, all right, it's kind of calm, fine. The second one though, the wind was moving around.
And he was right down the middle. I mean, the man is money. And where would this team be without Justin Tucker and all the great kicks he's made under pressure, including in his rookie season? Just
Dennis
an amazing, Galazzo's amazing.
He'll be here Thursday as well, 3 until 5, and again on Sunday. Had it on the holiday week with some Black Friday radio as well. Give me a little car update. Tell me what's going on, because I saw about inflation over the weekend. I saw like a chart about, you know, milk and eggs and like all that for the holidays, but like, a lot of it was 6, 8, 10%. It should be alarming for everybody, but it was like 24% on used cars, pre-loved in your case.
Yeah, you know what? It's everything costs more these days. In fact, I'm not aware of a single item that costs less now than it cost a year and a half ago. And there is a shortage. There was a scarcity index with pre-owned vehicles.
Stock on
and
the Steelers is down.
Stock on the Steelers is way down. You know, their draft position is going up though by the week. They should be having a top 10 pick at this rate, which is not good news for the division. All they need is a quarterback, and because they do have a very young team. But back to us here at Coons Baltimore Ford, we still have more inventory than anybody else in the region. More new vehicles, more pre-loved vehicles. So business is very good for us. But yeah, the transactional prices are certainly through the roof for all consumers.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you sticking around. And certainly this season, do the expectations get crazy when they're 8-3? Because I don't see them as being a number one overall seed. I see them as a team that's bagged some wins, barely. Most weeks they do not look dominant. They do not have that. The DNA, right? They have the DNA of being a winning kind of team in these gritty games. They don't have blow teams out. I don't think they have that in them right now, because I don't think they run the ball well enough consistently. Now, Chargers game, fine. You know, they didn't get off the bus that morning or whatever. But what I'm seeing the last month, and where Lamar is and where the offensive line is and where 30-somethings like Villanueva and Zeitler are going to be at this point in the season as far as banged up. I mean, Bradley Bozeman went down early in the game. We're like, God, no, not him, right? So the injury thing is still a big, big part of this for all of these teams. But just for how good, where the ceiling is for the Ravens, if they're the number one overall seed 6 weeks from now, they will have done some things in these six games that would have to be very impressive, because I think they're really staring down a gauntlet here. And I think it begins at Pittsburgh. You can diminish them and say how bad they look. That was last week. The Ravens are coming this week. They'll have some special sauce for the Ravens. I don't see the Ravens going up there and blowing out the Steelers Sunday.
You can bet, right? Mike Tomlin is a prideful man. It's a prideful organization. They have a lot of prideful players on that defense and offense. They're going to be ready for the Ravens. This is going to be a desperate team. This is a must-win game for the Steelers, not so much for the Ravens, but the Steelers should be desperate. The one thing, Nestor, is that I'm glad his team isn't peaking too early. We've seen the New England Patriots now go on a six-game run. Again, it's nice for them that they're winning, bad for the rest of the AFC, but this is not the time of the year that you want to see a team peak. Last season, the Steelers were, 11-0, and everybody knew it was a false feel good. It had to be a false feel good for them. They weren't that good, and they fell back to the pack, and then, of course, they imploded. Hopefully, the Ravens can get some more health. Patrick McCary, Nick Boyle can continue to get healthier and make a difference. And I was glad to see TCC come in at center when Bozeman went down versus putting Patrick McCary at center and Tyree Phillips at right tackle. But hopefully, they get it together. And it's a week-to-week league, and it's a game of attrition. Who knows who's going to be left standing at Nestor 6-7 weeks from now?
Dennis Kalatsos will be left standing over at the Coons Baltimore Ford. He'll also be here Thursday from 3 until 5. I will join him. Luke will join him. Luke and I are we're climbing the mountain. We're going up Pennsylvania on Sunday. My back's feeling a little bit. Dan, I was a little worried about my back, you know. So
I know.
I got a little off the field health story for you here. So I'm wearing red today. I'm wearing the Coons Ford logo here. And you gave me the red one. I'm a little wrinkled. So Coach Trotz and I had a dinner date. They were playing. I looked at the schedule. I'm like, Trotz and I haven't gotten together. I'm going to make an effort. I haven't been up to Long Island, you know, for whatever reason. They were playing in Brooklyn. I didn't get there. The plague happened, right? So I haven't been in a room with Trotz in like 2 years. So we were trying to get together. So we're texting back and forth. They play in Philly on Tuesday night. I figured this out early October. So I hit Coach, we made dinner plans in Philly. I hit Micah Buckdahl up there, had restaurants, things going on, all of this. And I'm excited to go. I wasn't going to the game. The game's Tuesday. He's like, I'm off Monday. We're stuck in Philly. Come on up. We'll have dinner or whatever. I had some Philadelphia business. COVID hits the team. Saturday morning, he texts me, says, hey, you know, there's some stuff going on here, whatever. Man, the COVID thing's still real, right? And I thought about this when Lamar hit the podium late into the night Sunday. And I'm like, he didn't play in a game last year. Like, big stakes, Pittsburgh, whatever, running around Pittsburgh. The experience of playing up in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, Flacco had kind of famously got thrown out of college up there and played up there. We haven't seen a whole lot of Lamar running around up in Pittsburgh. This is going to be a different kind of test, I think, this week, too.
It will, and I certainly don't want us to learn the Greek alphabet now with all the variants, right? We're up to Omicron, so you got to watch that.
You taught me how to say the cookie name last week. I said it wrong. I walked away in shame. Corambietis, is that correct?
You're close. Corambietis. Corambietis.
Corambietis. All right.
Corambietis. Perfect.
It is the season. This is the perfect season. Time for that. A little Rofo coffee and more. Then, I guess for where they are expectation-wise, do you expect them to be in the Super Bowl?
You know what? You never say never. There was no indication back in 2012 or 2000 that those squads were Super Bowl caliber teams. And anything could happen. They have the coaching. It's the organization. They have a quarterback that look, no one else makes the plays that he plays. 23 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he flicks the wrist, and he throws a touchdown to Mark Andrews. And we saw Jadeveon Clowney throw his helmet to the ground in disgust. And we saw Myles Garrett, you know, basically hug him and just shook his head like, oh, well. I mean, he's the only quarterback in the league capable of making that play.
Well, you get me excited about it. And, you know, he threw four picks. You still want to talk about that? You know, Munch Bishop called me from Cleveland. He's like, is the story that they won or is the story that Lamar threw four picks? I said, dude, the story is they're 8-3 and they're the one
seed. Who cares?
And it doesn't matter. Right. Like, literally, if the story were – and to some degree, this is the Baker Mayfield thing for them, right? Like, they walk the high wire of how it's going to go week to week. We do too, I guess, to some degree. But the one thing with Lamar, and I did some national radio last week. People were asking me about Lamar, and I said, he takes really good care of the football. I had thought all along the handing off and the RPOs would create more turnovers. They're in shotgun, and I know I saw a Skura. Was running around. Matt Skura was running around with the Giants the other day. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, that was part of the issue. But interceptions, bad reads, forcing throws late into double cover. Like, Lamar's not a high wire guy that way. If you had to put a reel together of his worst passes, they wouldn't be bad decisions. They may be ball sailing or things like that, but decision making with the football, he's very responsible with the football.
Maybe he was feeling the ill effects of whatever gastrointestinal thing he had going on. And I guess the other point that I have, Nestor, it's how many times this season has Lamar carried the team? How many times this season has a defense let Lamar down? So it was, I think, refreshing and genuine for Marlon Humphrey to say, hey, it was our turn to carry the load tonight. It's not wrestling, folks. It's football. It's 53 men. It's a coaching staff. It's not a one-man show. So when you put all 53 in its totality, right, in their totality, warts and all, because every team has flaws, right, because of the salary cap and injuries, you don't have a perfect team out there. There is no dominant team. So the Ravens have as good a chance as any to get hot at the right time and make a run.
You know, storylines, I think, around here this week are how bad the Steelers looked, how good the Bengals look. I mean, I think if we're going overall storylines, 4 interceptions, sure, I'll give you that. I'll give you the resiliency that they win and they still have the kicker and like all and the DNA, much like the Patriots. The Patriots come off the bus wearing Patriots gear. They're 8-3 too, right? You know, so they're 7-4, 8-3, wherever they are, they're 8-3, right? But either way, there is some pedigree and all that. The thing that I think would be a bigger story here for me would be how good the defense played in stopping the run of a running team. That if they can stop the run like that, they won't have any problem beating the Titans without Derrick Henry. They won't have any problem beating the Steelers who don't run the ball well. They will beat those kinds of teams. That Wink will be licking his chops second week to have the Patriots come here with a rookie quarterback that he can get after because they can stop the run. And they did that without Calais Campbell. So as much as, you know, the sports radio or the columnists may say 4 picks is too many, or I could say to John Harbaugh after the game, not going to win many games with 4 picks, are you, coach? I could also say you're going to win a lot of games if your defense can stop the run like that.
Yeah, and I think the story in Cleveland is that the Ravens stacked the box and dared Baker Mayfield to beat him with his arm, and he couldn't do it. So they're iffy about him. They had the situation with his wife reposting on Instagram something she shouldn't have. So things are week to week with the Browns and how they're looking at Baker Mayfield in regards to his contract extension. So, but again, there's a lot of things to be encouraged about with the Ravens. Warts and all, Bruce Potter texted me before the game, says, what do you think? And I said to Bruce, I think what I always think. I'm a very positive guy. I think they're going to win every game. And I said, I think they'll win against the Browns. And they did. So we're not going to apologize for that. Not at all.
Well, I just hope that they appoint themselves well on this road. I mean, this is Pittsburgh and Cleveland. This is where the chin strap comes on. And 9-4, acceptable. Either way, win or lose, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, 8-5 would be troublesome, right?
Agreed.
And if they were to win these two games, they would be a much more legitimate 10-3 team, even if they do it sideways with Tucker kicking 67-yard field goals. Like, however it happens, if they win these two games and they're 10-3, I'm going to go Parcells and say they are what their record says they are, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you. And look, their talent level is much greater than the Steelers right now. Steelers are very much in decline. It will be a huge disappointment if they leave Pittsburgh with a loss, for sure.
Did you see my Parcells retweet last week about management?
Yes.
Oh, man, that was one of the great ones, wasn't it?
It was.
And, well, Parcells was on the Manning. Have you watched the Manning cast? I know you're a Red Zone guy.
You know what? I like serious football. I don't like clowning around. So it's too much clowning around for me. It's not my cup of tea.
I've only watched the first quarter. I never make it to the fourth. I like 20 minutes of it, you know, if their guest is good, you know, but Parcells was really good with them. Like really, really good breaking down football.
Oh, yeah.
And he was on. And I said to my wife, I'm like, he used to do radio with me every week on Sporting News back in the day. I feel like I forgot. I had this Hall of Fame guy that I talked to for 15 minutes every. I also had Pete Carroll on too. Is Pete Carroll a Hall of Famer?
I think so. Yeah, I think he's in the conversation. Maybe he needs one more. He should have had 2 Super Bowls. Then to me would have been a slam dunk, but they gave one away, the Patriots.
Well, when Coach Fossil came here and he told me they were paying him $800,000 to do the coaches show, and I realized, man, they're paying Bill Parcells a lot of money per minute to talk to me. I feel really blessed.
Well worth it. The tuna is a wealth of knowledge, and we use as coach around here all the time. You know, the record is, you know, we are what the record says we are.
And, well, it was a Harvard leadership quote about being honest with the people who work for you or work underneath of you, that the only way you're going to get progress is to be painfully, brutally honest.
Honest, yep.
With employees about your expectations. And I'll read it to you. Here we go. Bill Parcells, Harvard Business Review. Those turnarounds, he's talking about turnarounds in football, taught me a fundamental lesson about leadership. You have to be honest with people, brutally honest. You have to tell them the truth about their performance. You have to tell it to them face to face, and you have to tell it to them over and over again. Sometimes the truth will be painful, and sometimes saying it will lead to an uncomfortable confrontation. I can hear this in his voice, right? So be it. The only way to change people is to tell them in the clearest possible terms what they're doing wrong, and if they don't want to listen, they don't belong on the team. And so there's a little Bill Parcells thing that Kevin Clark shared. So.
Parcells, Saban, Belichick, those guys have a lot of pelts on the wall, as Bill would like to say, and they've been around for a minute. So when they talk, we must listen and then execute. A lot of wisdom that man has.
That's why I don't want to see Bill Belichick coming here in January, and I definitely don't want to see us going there, which is why we got to get on the oars and go up to Pittsburgh and out to Cleveland and win. Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 to 5. He'll also be here on Sunday morning getting you ready for not a 1 o'clock game, but a Sunday game, and it is Pittsburgh week around here, and I'm sharing funny pictures. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.